So the reading is from Isaiah 33, verses 2 to 10. O Lord, be gracious to us. We wait for you. Be our arm every morning, our salvation in the time of trouble. At the tumultuous noise, peoples flee. When you lift yourself up, nations are scattered, and your spoil is gathered as the caterpillar gathers. As locusts leap, it is leapt upon. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and he will be the stability of your times, abundance of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. Behold, their heroes cry in the streets. The envoys of peace weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The traveler ceases. Covenants are broken. Cities are despised. There is no regard for man. The land mourns and languishes. Lebanon is confounded and withers away. Sharon is like a desert, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their leaves. Now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will lift myself up. Now I will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. You have to excuse me, this is the first time I've driven this wonderful new machine that it's got plugs all over the place. I'm just a little bit worried by the warning that goes here. It says, warning, if the sensors detect the same voice pattern for 20 minutes or more, this lectern self-destructs. So I better be quick. Well, there was a joke doing the rounds a few years ago that went a little like this. 20 years ago, we had Johnny Cash, we had Bob Hope, we had Steve Jobs, and today, well, we have no cash, no hope, and no jobs. And we're not going to be talking about cash or jobs, we're going to be talking about hope today, because hope is one of those characteristics which, as Christians, we should be demonstrating so that the light can come in. And we're going to look at hope in a little bit more detail today. Now, I ask yourself, am I a person of hope? Do I have hope about the future? And if so, what is that confidence? Am I confident about what is going to be in the days to come? Now, I was criticised for being 90% negative and 10% positive at the 9 o'clock service. I think the statistics are a little bit closer to 50-50, but anyway. There are things that we can be hopeful about that we see in the world. The person who spoke to me talked about the kindness of strangers. We see nature still in its beauty. But if any of you are lacking in imagination as to why you might be hopeless as opposed to hopeful, let me fill your mind with dark statistics. The world, first of all. Global warming 2023 was on record as being the hottest season, the hottest year since records began in 1850. Yesterday's newspaper, even before the end of February has come, said that this February is going to be the hottest on record. War. There are 2 billion people, a quarter of humanity, who live in places afflicted by conflict. One of our own congregation, Sandra and Richard Beswetherick, their son, flew out to the Congo as part of MEDAIR, one of the Christian organizations that helps And by the time he had arrived, he had to be put on a plane and taken out of that area. Why? Because conflict had affected the land where he was going to be living. Refugees. In 2022, there were 108 million people worldwide who were forcibly displaced. That is three times the number of just a decade ago. Dictatorship, using the United Nations definition of open democracy. In the last 6 years, the number of people living in open democracies has nearly halved, from almost 4 billion to just over 2 billion. Fake news. 4 in every 10 news sharers who were surveyed in 2019 admit to sharing inaccurate or false news. Another survey tested whether people could tell the difference between fake and real news, and 9 out of 10 couldn't tell the difference. Nationally, family structures. More than 4 in 10 marriages end in divorce, and the statistics for couples cohabiting is about the same. In 2011, 1/3 of all children aged 16 or under were not living with both of their birth parents. In the 2011 census, 59% indicated that their religion was Christian. In 2021, the figure had plummeted to 46%. Is that grim enough for you? There's very little grounds for hope in this world, notwithstanding what happens day by day with our experience. But if you want the global picture, you can't blame the newspapers for making us depressed, because the newspapers are reporting what is and not what we would like to be. We could go on, but the case for despair is convincing. Things are certainly bad, and for those of us of a certain age, we say they weren't like that in our youth. Now, there is a certain degree of rose-tinted spectacles that go on. I remember the headmistress at my primary school, who I met later on in life, and she admitted that she and her husband had chosen not to have children because of the darkness of the world that that child would be brought into. So it is a factor that we do look back and see things as better than they were. But the fact is that things are bad. And they have always been bad. And our passage from Isaiah today is a reminder that in every age, there are grounds for losing hope. Let's have a look at some of those things that Isaiah, who was, by the way, writing in 700 BC, at a time when his little nation of Judah was being overshadowed by the despotic and menacing superpower of Assyria, which was hoovering up all the small nation states in the Middle East. Indeed, in 701, the whole of Judah was overrun during the course of his ministry. There was no security, there was no stability. What picture does he paint in chapter 33 that we had read to us this morning? The first thing, behold, their heroes cry in the streets, the envoys of peace weep bitterly. Not even the most gifted, strong-minded, pure leader could make a difference. It was hopeless. It was like whistling in the wind. And reasonable people, the peacemakers, those who tried to bring together the extremes, the fanatics, the people who were intolerant, were weeping bitterly. The highways lie waste. The traveler ceases. There's no safety. And nations live in silos. They're cut off from personal contact with people from other nations. And as such, it's very easy then to pigeonhole them and think that everybody is like the leaders of their respective nations. Covenants are broken. cities are despised. The word cities is ambiguously translated. Some translations make it witnesses are despised. The concepts of justice and fair play are gone, and there is no longer respect for the truth. Fake news flourishes. There is no regard for man. Individuals are sacrificed to ideologies. Respect for individuals and their rights takes second place. They're dispensable commodities. And then in verse 9, the land mourns and languishes. Lebanon is confounded and withers away. Sharon is like a desert, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their leaves. Those four parts of the country are each known for their fertility and for being examples of great splendor. And these fertile areas have become barren, as is the case today, as we see nature groaning. It's all remarkably up to date, those descriptions. It could easily be a description of the world in which we live. And if that's the case, if we could put ourselves into that description, what does Isaiah have to say to his people that may be of equal comfort and good for us today? He says this: He, God, will be the stability of our times. I love that passage. That's why we had the ESV, because the others are equally good. They're foundation of our lives and the like. But where does our stability come from? He is our stability. And he goes on to say in verse 10, Now I will arise, says the Lord. Now I will lift myself up. Now I will be exalted. God is the only one, the one and only, who is not vulnerable to changing circumstances. Hope is confidence in the future. What is your confidence in the future? Is it your personal gifts? The fact that you have been given the survival tactics that will get you through? Do you have an innate belief in yourself, in your ability? Is it your financial provision? You've been sensible about how your money is spent, and so you can anticipate the disasters to come and you're insured against them. Is it health in old age? Do you believe that you will go against the trend of lots of other people who are unwell and you'll just live to a wise old age and then just pass away peacefully in your sleep? Is it your family, your friendships, your church here? Is it the expectation that world peace will eventually succeed? That law and order has the final word? The ultimate triumph of truth over lies? These are all good aspirations. They are all things we would grieve if any of them were taken away. But they cannot be the foundation that gives us hope for the future. Just imagine yourself as a citizen of eastern Ukraine today, or of any nation that's going through conflict. I find it easier to put myself into the Ukraine situation because it's a European country. I can see their values being similar to mine. What if your family was disrupted and indeed taken away? What if your expectations about education and a successful life were taken away? What if your home was taken away? What if your church community was scattered? Would there be anything left? That's the acid test. Will your anchor hold? That's the illustration that comes from Hebrews chapter 6. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. It's a wonderful illustration. We're going to come back to it because the Bible is really good at using pictures that help us to understand a truth behind it. It's a hope that is indeed out of this world. And that's the strength of it, because this world cannot impact upon it. There's another picture to illustrate the nature of hope, and that is of a rock. In Psalm 61, the psalmist says, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy." I love that illustration of a rock that is higher. It's bigger than me. It's bigger than the things around me, and therefore it will not be moved. And that rock is Jesus. Christian hope is not wishful thinking. It's not hoping that all will work well. It's not dependent upon externals. It's something deeper than that. All these things change. Someone once wrote, "For non-Christians, hope is a verb, something to do with gritted teeth and fingers crossed. For Christians, it's a noun. It's something we have because we know God, who is the source of and the reason for our hope." When writing to the Christians in Rome, Paul said this: "May the God of hope," the God of hope, see, that's where it all starts off, "may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." And it's worth remembering the experience that Paul had. So many things stripped away from him: his status as a Jewish leader, his security as somebody in a community that would protect him. All these things were taken away. And what was left? Well, what was left was what lasts forever. It was God himself. And here are three more characteristics that flow out of that hope. Once you have hope, what happens? You're courageous. "Since we have such a hope," says Paul to the Corinthians, "we are very bold." If you've got rock solid confidence in what will be, then you can be courageous. Hope is patient. "We give thanks to you," Paul says. We think, "Give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering your steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And hope is expectant. Titus talks in this way: "To live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ." So then, friends, the question is, are you a hopeful person? And there will be some here who are not hopeful, some people who despair of themselves or of their circumstances. And for you, the message is this: don't have confidence in yourself. Don't have confidence in things possibly working out well. Have confidence in God, who is the rock, the foundation, the anchor. He will see you through, not because you're a special person different from other people, but because he has gone before in order to make the way for you, to make sure that the future gives you grounds for confidence. In Ephesians, Paul says this: "Remember that you were without hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." It's because God loves you that you've got grounds for confidence in the future. And if your answer to the question, "Am I a hopeful person?" is yes, then just take a little time to reflect on why. What do you have that is confident about the future? What are your grounds for hope? Thank God for the things that are very special to you, but don't learn to rely upon them. I don't want to be morbid here, but any of the things that we are hopeful about that are linked to this world are not guaranteed. Health, friendship, family, all those things may be taken away. And if there's nothing left after that, we're of all people to be pitied, because we're no different from other people. But the answer is that we do have an anchor, we have a rock, we have a strong tower, and that is the grounds for our hope. We're going to have an opportunity as we lead on here, and Liz is going to lead us in this, for prayers for healing. But even if you don't have a particular need, I'd like you to just reflect on those facts of the illustrations that there are. Where is your anchor? What do you rely upon? Who is it that is your grounds for confidence? And when your hope is strong, then other people will see the difference, and that will give glory to God. Amen.